Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Angela Doctor, and I'll be your host today here on The Awakening as I'm stepping in for Lucretia Hayes. Today I have the privilege of speaking with Wanako Media House author Kathy Eberle about her new upcoming release, which will be out in November of this year, entitled Finding Grace. Kathy, are you with me on the line? Kathy, are you there?
Hello? Yes. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I can hear you. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So you have, you already have one release out with Wanako Media House, and you have another one coming out in November, correct?
That's correct. I'm really excited about this one that's coming out. It's kind of been in the process for quite a while, and it is not part of the series.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about.
A lot of people wondered if it was.
Let's talk about Finding Grace first, and then if we have time at the end, we'll come back and talk about your first book in the series a little bit. So, tell us about Finding Grace and what's been going on with that, and how it came about,
okay.
All that good stuff.
All right. Well, Finding Grace is a story of a young man by the name of Craig Walker, who has just spent 5 years of his life in prison, and for an event that a very tragic event that he had done. And so, as he's being released, to go to work, and unbeknownst to him, the people that hire him are the very people that, well, the daughter of the people that he accidentally killed in a vehicular manslaughter accident 6 years prior. So it's finding grace is just what it is. He's trying to find forgiveness for what he's done, and she's trying to find the grace to forgive him. Her name is Grace Rivers. So kind of a play on words, but she's trying to find forgiveness to forgive him for ruining her life, so to speak. Kind of an interesting premise. The idea came to me actually a few years back, just from people I've heard of that have had similar incidents in their lives, and it's totally changed their lives forever. And I kind of wondered what would happen if, you know, this happened in the Christian world, and what would happen if the very person who had been harmed or hurt had to be face-to-face with that person again, what would happen? And so it was just kind of came to me that, you know, what would Jesus do? And it really is a journey, but the whole book is a journey on how they learn to each forgive, how Craig learns to forgive himself, and how Grace learns to forgive Craig in order to actually be able to move on with their lives.
This sounds like a great story that is going to apply to everybody, because I even think of situations in my own life, and I think that we can say, you know, pretty widely spread across the board that, you know, given that we just live in a fallen world and, you know, that we're all sinners, that there are going to be times in our lives where we bring hurt and pain upon someone else, and yet we have to come face-to-face with that, you know, either meeting them again and facing that, or just facing it in our own lives and finding God's grace as it applies to our situation. You know, we sometimes get lost in big circumstances like, you know, car accidents and things like that, but what a message that is, that's just applicable to everybody, of just needing to find grace no matter how big or small the circumstance is that we encounter.
Absolutely. When I was writing it, I remember I've had it critiqued before I actually got it to the point of publishing, and somebody said, well, how? And in the situation, Grace has hired Craig, not knowing who he really was. In truth, he didn't know who she was, because she had a different name than her parents. So it was confusing until they meet at that first moment and just the raw emotion. That first meeting is just incredible to see her, and then to see her at the end of the book, which I won't give away, the
right.
turnaround of her as a person and the growth. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. So outside of the fact that this story really sounds like it can resonate with lessons for all of us, I don't want to be that general. Who is the book for as far as the audience? I mean, did you write it for teenagers? Is it for just people in the church?
It's for anybody.
Okay.
My kind of writing, I like to write about today's kind of people. I don't write about your traditional, not traditional, but my books are not traditional in the sense of your average contemporary romance, Christian novel, in that I have people, they have problems too, but the people are a little bit more, maybe a little bit more edgy, I would say. Not real edgy, but, they're really verbal with how they feel. And, I think it's for everybody. I've had, in the book, the last book that I wrote, I had people from 12 on up enjoying it. So men and women.
Okay.
So
it's going to be appropriate
women,
for teenagers.
Yes.
Okay.
I try to have it. And I also kind of share the topic of abstinence also in the book, which is something that isn't talked much about. So, I have that kind of role model in it as well. So trying to appeal to everybody, but mostly adults, young teenage, I'd say, 15, 16 up to, 75, 80.
Okay.
90, 100.
Okay, good. Okay. Who is your favorite character in this book and why?
Okay, my favorite character is actually not either Grace or Craig. Actually, my favorite character is Grace's grandfather, Grandpa Joe. And he is just a great older gentleman with a lot of wisdom, but he's also got a great sense of humor, as well as being a good cook. I actually, in the book, have some of Grandpa Joe's recipes for people to try. He is based on my father-in-law. And the minute I met him, he was very similar, though probably not as spry as Grandpa Joe. But he's my favorite character. He makes you laugh, and he makes you cry. And he's just no nonsense. He's a great, great character. He's probably my favorite. The whole book.
Okay.
If I could
write
50 about him, it'd be great.
Are the recipes in the book yours, or are they your father-in-law's, or are they tested and true?
A little bit of, yes, they're tested and true. One of them was my father-in-law's, and the other one I came up with. it's a family recipe, actually. So, but yes,
okay.
And they are real, they're tested, they're true, and people enjoy them. So.
Great. Who are some of your favorite authors?
My favorite authors, that's a good question. I have a lot of favorite authors out there. A couple of my favorite Christian authors would be, there's just so many, but one of my favorite authors is Jeanette Oak. I always enjoyed her writing because she just was enjoyable to read and easy to read. And also Beverly Lewis, another one of my favorites, in just their style is amazing. There's just so many. I do enjoy Lucretia Hayes and her books. She takes things at a different perspective, and I enjoy that. But those are some of my favorite authors. Probably going back to the early days, Beverly Cleary, one of my favorites from childhood that I used to read. I loved her stuff, especially her teen books.
I can get on board with that one. I hear you.
Yes. Very entertaining writer. So.
Yep.
In fact, I think it was her that actually encouraged, made me think I could maybe write back when I was 12. So, yes.
I can relate to that. I totally can. It's nice to know we kind of cut from the dough. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, just a variety, just a big variety of them. But those are probably my biggest favorites of, you know, past and present.
Okay. Are you reading any books right now, currently?
Am I reading any books? Yes, I'm reading lots of books. I'm always reading books. Right now I'm reading, I'm doing some reading of, one of my little indulgences is The Love Inspired Lines. And so some of my favorite authors, I like to read Margaret Daly's books, especially her protection, CIA protection books. I like her mysteries, and I kind of enjoy reading those as well. So right now I'm reading one of hers that I picked up a few months ago, but I haven't finished because I'm working on mine. But yeah, that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay. So back to Finding Grace for just a second. What is the biggest lesson or takeaway from that book that you hope others will receive?
Oh, the biggest lesson is that forgiveness is right there, and it's so much easier to forgive, to forgive yourself, first of all. You can't expect, I mean, a lot of us believe and know that God forgives us, but we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And realizing, yes, God has forgiven us, and we can forgive ourselves, and it'll heal us so much better. And then also for us to learn to forgive others. Just forgiveness is such a big thing. It's easy to let anger and bitterness sweep in when we've been hurt or wronged, but it's not easy to forgive something that seems unforgivable. But we have to. You know, it's what helps us be healthy, and that's one of the things that I hope people will take away is just the love and forgiveness. And maybe in that sense, my Grandpa Joe character is more kind of like a loving father, like God, and his love and forgiveness and his acceptance. And that's kind of why I like him so well, is because he has forgiven. He has moved on. And in trying to help both Craig and Grace find the forgiveness they need, that's what I'm hoping people will take away.
And it's so important to know. It's so important to note for people who may not have a full understanding of how or why they should forgive, that it's truly, I mean, it is a biblical command that we are, as believers, to forgive,
right,
as Christ has forgiven us. But it is, I mean, I've lived this with different circumstances and situations in my own life, but, you know, and people have watched me forgive and have observed me and said, how do you do that? And I just, you know, it is for them, but it's more for us as well, because it is so freeing. It frees us up to say, this isn't going to control my life anymore. This isn't going to take me down a destructive path. You know, that God has a plan for me bigger than this. And even if I can't see what it is in this moment, that, you know, he has a plan for and a purpose for our pain, and he doesn't waste that. But first, you know, when I share lessons that I've gone through on forgiveness, is that forgiveness is at first, when you can't feel it, when you feel like you don't want to forgive, it's just a purposeful choice. I choose to forgive, you know.
Yes.
Even if you don't feel it yet, we have to obey, much like we ask our children to obey, you know, finish your dinner, clean up your room, you don't talk back to me. Much
right.
Like we ask our children to obey, they have to obey, and then comes the blessing and the reward. You know, then they can go to the movies, then they can go hang out with a friend. But
right.
the blessing doesn't come before the obedience. The obedience comes first. And so sometimes that step is literally just a heart and mouth utterance of, okay, I choose to forgive. Has nothing to do with, I want to, I feel like it, you know, you know, I love you so much, I will. It's just a sheer act of will and obedience. But there's so much healing and so many blessings around the corner from that moment if we do that. And I think, you know, one of the greatest blessings, if I can steal your thunder here for a minute, was just about a year and a half ago, I was in the room with someone who has caused me some deep pain, and my daughter was watching across the room, and she's an adult now, and I could just tell she really wanted to stand up and say something in my defense, and, you know, to just, you know, her way of honoring her mom, and I just kind of signaled her, like, sit down and be quiet. Not the time, not the place, you know. And she just told me later, she goes, I just admire you. You stood there with that person. You interacted with them. You showed them love. You showed them grace. You showed them mercy. And she's like, I admire you for that. And to me, that was just the biggest blessing, is if nothing got resolved with that person, you know, nothing got better with that person, except that I was able to exemplify grace and mercy and forgiveness in that moment. And my daughter saw that. And if that's what comes out of that, is that I can give her that to carry forward in her life, to pass on to her children, then it doesn't matter what I went through. It doesn't erase what I went through. It doesn't change it. It doesn't make it okay. That's not what forgiveness does. But forgiveness says, I'm going to rise above this, and God has a plan, and, you know, I'm going to trust what that plan is. And so, yeah, I'm very excited about your book, because I can see how this would really just impact lessons I've even tried to pass on to my kids from different circumstances. But
exactly. I think a lot, it'll resonate with a lot of people. I think a lot of people, not that I'm tooting my own horn, but I think a lot of people will be blessed, and maybe people that have had a bitterness towards somebody for years and years and years will maybe be healed through that. And that's my biggest hope. That's my biggest hope. Anything I write, you know, when you're young, when I was a child and I wrote, I kept thinking, oh, someday I'll be big and famous. No, that's not the purpose for my writing. My purpose for my writing is to, first of all, honor God with all I do and say. And he's allowed me to write and to have these thoughts and ideas. And he is the one that guides me when I write. And so everything I do is for him, to try to point people toward him. And that's what I hope, that people will, you know, hope that somebody will be blessed through this, that it will encourage people. You know, I have my little cheerleaders out there. When I started writing the book, I work in a halfway house with people of addiction. And when I started writing this a few years back, I was actually talking to one of my clients at the time about the book. And it was a man for that reason. And he said, wow, that sounds so awesome. And he was really encouraging to me about it. And actually, when I say it's for these people that I have served and watched grow, and that God has forgiven them and redeemed them and made them into something that they are proud of, and that they can say, I'm God's child, and look where I was, but look where I am now. And that's what I, you know, they've really encouraged me. And yet, you know, and I have seen some incredible transformation of some people that, the first time I ever looked at them, I thought, I'm not so sure. But as I saw them grow, they have just grown into lovely, lovely, beautiful young men and women, you know, people that I thought would never have a family, would never have love, have suddenly found love and a family and a future. And to see where they were and where they are now and the path they're on now, God's redemptive work is still alive and well, you know.
Yep.
That's amazing. It's just amazing.
I first prayed the prayer when I was 18, and just said, you know, my life was a mess at that point, and I literally just prayed the only thing I could think of, and is that was literally like, I have nothing. I see nothing. I have nowhere to go. But if you can take nothing and make something from it, then do. And he has totally taken my life and taken nothing and destruction and pain and made something
and
from it.
It's amazing.
So.
It's an amazing feeling. It's wonderful. I mean, I look back on my life and where I was 25, 30 years ago. It's not where I thought I'd be now. Without going into it, my life was pretty sad about 30 years ago. But God has really worked in some incredible ways in my life, and I'm seeing them now, and I'm thinking, wow, I would never have thought this would be. In fact, I would never have thought I'd have been on a program discussing a book, because I didn't think I'd ever write again. So, you know, stuff those little books down in my, I've had them traveling with me for years in boxes, but never would have thought, you know, never would have thought I would be able to share it. Never thought I would see the end of a tunnel where there would be blessing on the other end, you know.
It is an amazing
so
feeling
good.
when you suddenly sit down to type and the words just flow and you get done and you go, oh, that was God, because I don't know where that came from.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good feeling,
It is, and it's funny how fast they do flow. I mean, there are some that it takes me a while to get into, but like I said, with this one, I was all too excited to start on it. And to be perfectly honest, when I decided to publish this one, it wasn't quite finished. And so I had, when I talked to Lucretia, she said, all right, now it needs to be ready to be submitted within 30 days. I said, okay. I had it to her in 15. So her words really flowed then. But just, you know, incredible how God can just take something that's broken and mend it to something beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying I'm beautiful yet, but he's taken my broken life and he's made it into something that I hope he is pleased and that I bless him with.
My favorite pastor in the world told me when I was in tears at 18, he said, God doesn't waste our pain. And I've had many, many pains in life. I've held on to that when I don't know, when I don't understand. God doesn't waste our pain. And sometimes you just have to keep walking through it, you know, to see the fruition of it. And sometimes it takes, you know, years to see the fruition of it. But he's faithful, so...
Yes, he is. He's always faithful.
Always. Yep. About 5 minutes left here. So you really want to tell us about your other works that are out and a little bit about you mentioned you have a series.
Right. I started Carissa's Hope. Carissa's Hope came out in December, and I've had some really good feedback on that one. Carissa's Hope is a story of about a young woman named Carissa who is a director of a resource and employment center for mentally challenged individuals by day, and during the holidays she's Mrs. Claus, and she meets John Drake at the local mall when he brings his mentally challenged sister to be Santa Claus, and their relationship starts up as a friendship and grows. And and it's a story about God using people that don't think that they're usable and God redeeming them. And so that is the beginning. That's the first book in the series of the brave women, brave people of Bradley, Minnesota, a fictitious small town. She actually opens up another part of her company in Bradley, Minnesota. The next book in the series, which I am currently working on, is called Vanessa's Victory, about a widow who had been previously abused by her husband, who has just been murdered, and she is relocating to Bradley. And it's a story of her being able to heal from the abuse she had suffered and try to move on with her life and bring her children into the new life. And it's just a time of healing for the whole family. And I think it'll be an enjoyable book also. A very thought-provoking book, as they all are, but that's what the next one, Carissa's Hope, will be about. And I'm currently working on that one. And not sure when that one will be out, but... two books in 12 months or 11 months is pretty good for me. for somebody who waited 30 some plus years to get a book out there. So
hey,
I'm
it's
just
never
feeling
too late.
Accomplished. No,
it's
not.
Never
I feel
too
very
late.
Accomplished. Yeah, I feel like I've accomplished a lot this year. So.
Yep, and we just, you know, we write, you know, it's like you said earlier, we write, obviously, when we're writing Christian fiction and things like that, we write to touch people's lives and honor the Lord. But, you know, truly I'm with you. We write because, like, these stories live in us and we have to get them out. We have to get them told. And they have to just kind of come to the surface and escape us because, you know, if you're like me and other writers that I know, you're just constantly, you know, you've got characters talking in your head. And I've been
known
to get up in the middle of the night or carry a tape recorder. My kids growing up would be, you know, I'd be walking through Walmart and go, I just had an idea.
Yeah, my dreams at night are, I know that they're plot lines, and I see them, and it's really weird because I know it's not me that is, I used to think it was me, but actually they're the characters, and so Vanessa is going to be quite the pill to deal with, not a pill to deal with, but her life is going to be quite interesting to work through, and then there are some other subsequent, I'm not quite sure, at this point I've got a third book in the thought process as well, possibly a fourth. It depends on how well the other two do.
I've learned that when I first started writing, I used to fear like, oh, I'll only have one and I'll run out of things to say. And I'm literally, the ideas keep flowing and I have all these files opened of works in progress and thoughts and ideas. And I've learned not to throw anything out. But I have finally learned not to fear that there's not going to be something else to write about. Like, it just keeps coming.
Right. And as long as, you know, our world has so many interesting and thought-provoking things going on, that there's a lot of things we can write about. So,
yep.
Absolutely. I predict that probably the next ones will have some equally big plot twist. There's always, it sounds like it's going to be a traditional, you know, happily ever after, but there are some bumps in the road as is in life. So, you know, and which people will find too if finding grace, there will be some big bumps in the road. So,
we look forward to following you and keeping up with you, and you know, make sure to keep in touch with us and come back and let us know how things are going. And
will do. Will do. Thank
so
you so much.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, can you tell readers how to find you or contact you if they want to get in touch with you directly?
Absolutely. You can contact me on Facebook. I do have an author, Kathy Eberle, page. Or you can go to my email, which is authorkathyeberle@gmail.com. And that's where you can usually find me, one of two places. I do have a website, but I'm kind of in the process of revamping that. So, but those are my two main places, my Facebook page and my email is where people can get a hold of me.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh,
I look forward to talking
you.
With you again in the future.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.